Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Scott Leslie. I'm supposed to.
Thanks.
Interesting. DJ was actually the guy who ran out to let me on the air. I'm assuming it was the DJ. It might have been the sound engineer. Yeah, you gotta. It's hard to picture this, but CBC Victoria is not a big outfit. It has the one studio here in Victoria, and obviously it's a part of a national network. And that is a look at your CBC
local news. I'm cornered in a canyon, leaving his horse disappeared. Said he got run down by a bad, bad man. You're not a good shot, but I'm worse. Babe, so much weed.
Dropped the connection there, not sure why. Looks a little more professional than the insides of DS-106, but not much. I mean, a little less duct tape. So this is what the inside of a radio station looks like. So apparently I'm up right before the news, so that'll actually probably be more like 8:55. So you have 25 minutes of listening to me sitting here in the office. Could give you back to auto DJ if you wanted.
I've probably wouldn't run one of those riot stories, but they're all interesting.
I wonder if there's like certain wiretapping laws that we're breaking. The recall. We're having a recall campaign here to try and stop the HST. I think that's what it's about. Apparently, Sting is up ahead of me on the rotation. I don't know what that's all about. Sting preempting me talking about copyright. What the fuck? Something about email to the Canucks, what, telling them how bad they are. I'm sorry. Yeah. See, I actually have a theory that riot was just actually put on by the Canucks organization to mask the fact of how badly they sucked in Game 7. There, I said it. Everybody was thinking it. And then copyright. I'm going to try and look at Twitter with Papaya on. I've never done this on my phone.
Oh,
probably about 10 minutes away, Scott, so we'll run out. Cleo will run out and grab you probably in about 10 minutes.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so apparently I have one lister at least. Hi, Julia. At least 10 minutes to go, so I'm looking at the Twitter stream as protocol dictates, and you can tell me if you want to listen to Auto DJ for 10 more minutes or if you just want to listen to me blather on into my phone. Listening to the fascinating sounds of the inside of the CBC offices. They did tell me to actually be here right about now, so it's not Canucks email, it's CRD email. Interesting. So there. It's actually really interesting. I'm sitting here looking at it looks to me to be the producer's side of things. And so he's got a computer screen in front of him with some audio software where he trigger the bumpers and got a mixing board in front of them, big mic. Very nice setup, actually. I should take a photo of it. Ah, the magic of radio. You can't see what I'm seeing. But, and so I guess the other side of the studio, which I can't actually see from here, is where the morning person is. So. Oh, and the on-the-air light just went off, so I finally noticed that. It's in a very discreet location. You'd think they would put that in a much more prominent location. On-the-air, don't barge in. But it's just beside the door. We need that for DS-106, an on-the-air light that comes on in our houses or something. I want to, Grant, you got to get on that and build me one of those. Oh, they're back on the air. See, the light went on. That's exciting stuff, Grant. You know, I won't believe DS-106... is really a real radio station until I have a little light that comes on in my house and goes off like that again. See, that was exciting. And on again. I mean, it's like they're going on and off the air like every few seconds. It's wow. You know, I just bet somehow, like within the next 5 minutes, that some major international catastrophe is going to happen and I'm going to get bumped off the air. I know it. Always happens. Like Elvis is going to emerge from a coffee shop in Reno or something. They're going to announce that Game 7 is actually a do-over because of the riots. They get another chance at Game 7. By now, I'm pretty sure the people in the CBC office who can't actually see me are wondering, the guest is doing in the front of the office is talking into his phone. Try looking at Twitter again. Not that I mind having only one listener, like Julia. Props. Glad somebody's listening. Oh. Okay, apparently. Don't be ridiculous. Live rules, so. Yep. So, well, Julia, since it seems to be, rather than a broadcast medium, we seem to be actually just having a conversation with you on Twitter and me on DS106. So, what did the recording the other night sound like? Like, I did have the phone downstairs from where we were playing, and I did see one comment that was quite quiet. I was worried that if I had kept it upstairs, it was going to be overly loud. So, interested to see comments about how the signal came through. No comments on the actual quality of the music. That's not, yeah, that's not relevant here. Bless, we're thick-skinned. You have to be thick-skinned to be a horror monk, so. Well, I just cut one item off the list of things to do before the news. So I think that's how they go. They get suckers like me in here, and then, you know, if they need lots of time, then they just keep me talking. Otherwise, you know, it's just going to be, hey, yes, I'm talking tonight up at the Social Media Club of Victoria. Come on down. And they won't give me any chance to rant about the need for changing social relations to deal with copyright infringements. Or anything like that. Yeah, this is unusual. Get me on the air twice in 2 days on DS106. Sorry for monopolizing the airwaves, as it were. That's awesome. Right next door, CBC staff are talking about how to pirate a TV signal. This is fantastic. Radio pirating TV. Doesn't get much better. I think as a present, DS106 listeners, we should all pitch in and get Grant one of these big Muppet Fracken boards, so even if he doesn't need it for DS106, just so he can sit in front of it and look important, like a proper station manager, because, man, that guy sitting in front of it looks pretty impressive. So, Grant, I think we need to get you a big, big-ass board. Like proper radio station dudes have. I'm finding it hard to believe that I'm actually up and reasonably coherent at 7:40 in the morning, usually when my alarm actually goes off.
Hello.
Right across from you, that's perfect. Whatever you're alarmed about, don't forget to let On the Island know. Thanks for your email, by the way. Our talkback number is 250-360-0614 or 1-800-757-1446, toll-free. And our email address, as I mentioned here on the program, victoria@cbc.ca. And that email we had there from Brian Nimorowski. It is 9 minutes now before 8 o'clock on the island. Thanks for coming in, Scott.
Yeah, no
pleasure
problem.
To have you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let it get going, and then, I'll let it go 20 seconds.
Great.
Do I want to use these?
You don't really need them.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're useful for me so I can hear what's going out on the air, but you don't need them.
Sure.
Well, it's hard to resist hitting that share button on Facebook. This week, for many, the temptation is greater than ever as the multitudes of dramatic photos and videos of the Vancouver riots circulate the internet. But how do you know what content you have the right to publish online, and what are the consequences if you copy someone else's photos or other content? This evening, the Victoria Social Media Club's monthly meeting will hear from researcher and open content advocate Scott Leslie about online publishing do's and don'ts. Now, Scott works as an educational technologist for the BC campus, a post-secondary agency, and he's in the studio this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
So how can you tell if you have the right to reproduce or share photos or other content on the web?
Well, it's not a simple issue for people to deal with, certainly. The basic rule of thumb is if you don't own it, you likely don't have the right to share it. With some exceptions in Canada, there is what we call fair dealing, which is a set of rules that apply to people for personal study, for journalistic use, that gives them some cover to reuse other people's materials. But by and large, copyright is the privilege of the owner of the media, the person who produced it, to dictate who can reuse it.
Hmm. So I must admit that I often share newspaper articles that I find interesting or that I think might spur some interest among friends of mine or some conversation at the very least. Is that wrong?
Well, I think it really depends on what you're talking about by sharing. So certainly the web makes things even more complicated. So if we're talking about simply sharing a link to something, that seems not generally problematic, that if you found something interesting on the web, you want to point somebody to it, that's probably not a problem. If you're sharing it for personal uses, so you cut something out and put it into an email and send it to a friend, it may be a gray area, but by and large, that's not something that's going to cause you a lot of problems. That's potentially different, though, than if you see a story on the front of the online edition of the Vancouver Sun that you decide you want to display on the front of your blog. That's a sort of different scenario where you've literally republished holus bolus somebody's material in a different forum, and people may have a big problem with that.
How aware do you think people are generally about these things?
Well, I think awareness of it and the practice of it and the actual laws are not particularly in sync right now. So the abilities that the online world gives you to easily reproduce things and to easily copy things has led people to form practices about sharing things that the law really hasn't kept up with, that the law sort of is very much based in a print world and in a pre-digital world where sharing really, reproducing materials really applied to people who were doing it in what was clearly in an illegal fashion, where they were trying to commercially copy something that was under copyright. And it didn't really anticipate necessarily this whole realm of digital end users who were doing it for their own purposes. And so I don't think there's a huge awareness out there right now.
So sharing pictures and that sort of thing that might belong to someone else, what are the possible consequences if, say, I use a Globe and Mail picture on my website or on my blog in the course of making a point?
Right. Well, I think in the case of the individual, and especially in the case of the individual who's not particularly out for commercial gain, you know, the consequences aren't necessarily huge. Initially, and this is something we hope to see put into law, the copyright owner simply notifies the person who's been seen to breach their copyright and informs them and gives them the chance to rectify that. Now, failing that, there certainly is the potential for it to escalate. But I think by and large, for people who are not running commercial entities, who are doing it for their own purposes, the consequences are basically don't do it, being told that, being asked to take it down, and given a chance to do that.
I wonder where people can find pictures that they know are safe online. Are there easy places to go to find stock imagery and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's been one of the big responses over the last 10 years or so in the online world to this problematic area of copyright is that there's been the emergence of a huge set of media under the Creative Commons license. Creative Commons was developed around 2001, and it's it allows copyright creators to retain their copyright, but to then specify to end users things that they would be allowed to do with it. So potentially to reuse it, to remix it, to potentially even sell it. And so there are now huge collections of Creative Commons Creative Commons materials out there. So, for instance, if you go into Flickr, a well-known image sharing site, not all images in Flickr are Creative Commons. But if you go into the advanced search, there's an area there that says just show me stuff that I am legally allowed to reuse without having to ask permission. And even in Google, in the advanced search area, there's an area that says we only want to specify results that I can reuse. So there is a way quite easily for people to find stuff that they've already been granted permission to use. They don't need to clear additional copyrights.
Many good points. Scott Leslie, thank you for joining me this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Scott Leslie is an educational technologist with BC Campus and Agency, which promotes development of online content for BC post-secondary institutions. He'll be speaking tonight at the Victoria Social Media Club on online content publishing rights. It's happening at the University of Victoria's Social Sciences and Mathematics building. That's building A, room A102. Well, time to take a look at news headlines. Now here's Catherine Rolfson.
Civil liberties advocates are raising concerns over ICBC's offer to help police identify rioters. On Friday, ICBC offered up facial recognition software and a database of images from driver's licenses. The BC Civil Liberties Association says privacy organizations were told the database would not be used in this way. And a bizarre crime story out of Park...
Seems to be a good way of indicating that this is not a naturally occurring signal, and it's a signal that's created by a self-aware...